And when Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would they would do unto you," this is an echo of a great teacher long before him, well before him, Hillel, who put it in negative form. A rather simple man asked the great Hillel, who was one of the two great leaders of the time of Israel, teachers of Israel, "Can you tell me the law while I stand on one foot?" And an untrained man can't stand on one foot for more than a few seconds. So Hillel said, "Yes, don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you. This is the law and the prophets. The rest is commentary." This is in negative form. And at first sight, it seems to be inferior. It's negative. But if we look more deeply, we can see that unless the positive action is based on spiritual inspiration, it may be no welcome thing. Somebody who's about 17, who wants to cheer people up, will think, "Well, we'll fill the house with rock music. That's what he likes." And he thinks, "Well, everybody would like that. If I was feeling depressed, I'd like people to come and fill the house with rock music. So they're feeling depressed, I'll go and fill their house with rock music." Tastes differ and needs differ. But not to do to them what you would not want them to do to you, in the negative form. Now in the yoga, our teacher said, we kill the self by focusing attention on the interests of the body beyond what is necessary, and on the interests of the personality beyond what is necessary. And there's a sort of Mephistopheles in all of us, and he frequently referred to this, who says, you know, meditation doesn't actually do anything. At the end of the meditation, you're what you were before, just the same. You've been puffing yourself up with all sorts of thoughts of greatness and divinity, but at the end of it, just what you were. This is in Goethe's Faust, and it was frequently quoted by our teacher, Dr. Shastri. And Faust says to Mephistopheles, "No, you don't know from this meditation what inspiration and rejuvenation come. If you knew, devil that you are, you'd grudge them to me, but you don't know." And our teacher also gave this example. After a religious meeting, people can suddenly start talking business to help each other in business. There's a pamphlet here, how to turn £2,485 into £97,000 in penny shares. Now, if after a religious meeting, one goes round telling people about this, surely one's doing some good. We're giving them a chance. Savings may be very small, but if they're going to get more than that, well, nearly 50 times. Surely that's doing some good, isn't it? Whereas the meeting is just words, just words. Now, our teacher gave this as an example of killing the self. In the holy meeting, if people have attended, they begin to move out of the prison. The prison of mortality and the prison of limitation. And then this well-meaning man goes round, financial worries, stimulating greed, and he imprisons them back. And our teacher gave this as an example of killing the self. He sees who sees the self in all beings, standing the same, the undying in the dying. And Sri Dada in these talks is addressing the Atman, the self, whom he sees in the beings. One of the Zen teachers said to the audience, he said, "I see you as lights." And then he said, "But you have no faith. You'll never get it in 100 years. Well, these are the steps which Sri Shankara gives. the beginning with meditation for purification of the mind. Then tyaga, or the dedication of the fruits of action to the Lord. Not the actions yet, but the fruits of action to the Lord. Then purification, sattva shuddhi, 17 times repeated, a key phrase in Shankara's commentary. We can think, how can we possibly know? Has somebody been through the Gita commentary and counted all the times it came up? Yes, they have, and all the other words too. The edition has just come out, a word index to Shankara's Gita commentary. So we know the key words which come repeatedly again and again and again. And this is one of them. The sattva shuddhi, the purification of the mind. Then the attainment of knowledge. Then a renunciation. In Shankara's time, it was classically an external renunciation. But he gives a number of exceptions. For instance, a king who has connections with the kingdom, which he can't lay down until the son is ready to take over, and the king remains, although he's in the stage of renunciation, he remains to set an example to the world and to protect the people. Firmness in knowledge, and this again is meditation. And finally, freedom or moksha. Then I'll just read the verse again. All these steps are set forth again and again in the Gita commentary. Sometimes he gives the first three up to purity, sometimes up to knowledge, sometimes the steps beyond knowledge. The steady-minded one, abandoning the fruit of action to the Lord, attains the peace born of devotion. The unsteady one, without meditation, attached to the fruit through the action of desire, is firmly bound.